But press the button and we'll see. Here he comes. And we all know him by one name, but actually it started off with, press the button again, this name. And you notice I was trying really hard to pronounce it, Abram, because in the first half, probably, of all the Bible chapters about him, he's called Abram. He doesn't get the other name that we all know him by until much later. But in the verses I read to you, you might have noticed, press the button again, please, Luke, that he heard from God, and God said, leave your country, your relatives, and your father's home, and go to a land that I am going to show you, and I will give you many descendants, and they will make you, and you will become a great nation. So here's Abram listening to God and doing what God says. And I'm very aware of what it must be like to leave home, not because I am leaving home, but I got a foster daughter who is about to leave our home. She's been with us since June, and it's really tough for her. And it's quite hard to talk it through with her, and she's getting quite anxious, and that affects her behaviour, and we know all about that. But just imagine that you were out of control of things, just like she is, and you were being moved. Well, Abraham wasn't out of control of what was going on in his life, but he had to do, or he wanted to do, what God said. And so it makes me think that there may be times in our lives when God asks to do things which are a little bit difficult, and we might be a bit nervous about whether or not they're going to work. And things changed for Abraham. So, press the button, please. Yes, instead of living, I suspect, in Ur and in Haran, he lived in a house, I don't know for sure, but he had to live in a tent. And I love this bit because, press the button again, I always think that it must be like this. You know, wouldn't it be fun? Some children say to me, can't we live at Lager always? And I say, I wish we could. You know, my mum, when she used to come to Lager, she's too old to come now, she's 92, but when she used to come to Lager until she was about 87, she was on the team, and she and I used to cry at the end of Lager every time. Because we were so sad to go, you know, and I try to stop myself crying now. But you know, it's a great place. But I'm sorry to tell you, press the button, that it's probably a bit more like this. The tents were probably more like that. That's what they look like nowadays anyway. I don't think I've got a photograph of Abraham's tent, but a bit more like that. But he had to live in a tent. And it wasn't just him, his wife came. I don't know whether he talked about it to his wife, or he was just told, come on, come on. And his servants come. Of course, he wouldn't ask their help, and he wouldn't ask the animals, but press the button, there was somebody else who came, and it was his nephew, Lot. And Lot had lots as well, of course, and they all had lots of animals and everything, and there was loads and loads of animals and people and everything. It all came together, and Abraham was leading them where God had told him to go. But they were going away from the city and where the water was and where the lush grass was, and they were being sent out into the desert. And so, press the button, they had problems. There wasn't enough grass or there wasn't enough water, and quarrels broke out between the men who took care of Abraham's animals and those who took care of Lot's animals. Press the button again and you'll see it might have been a bit like this. I don't know, it's quite as violent as that on the left, but maybe they shouted at each other, I'm not quite sure. But it wasn't a good situation. I don't know if you find sometimes when God is leading you, it seems like things have gone a bit bad and it's becoming much more difficult. I don't know if you've noticed that, but when God leads us out, sometimes it becomes much harder and we end up in arguments. Somehow, if nothing ever changes, it's quite easy just to keep going, isn't it? When things start to change, or when God is prompting us to do some things, then sometimes that leads to arguments and problems. So press the button, and I wonder what you do about it. Here is what Abraham did. He said, we're relatives, and your men and my men shouldn't be quarrelling about this. But clearly there's a problem, so what are we going to do? I wonder if you are a peacemaker or a peacebreaker. I get sent in as the diplomat in all sorts of situations in Scripture Union. I have to go and make peace between people because that's one of the gifts that I think God has given me. But Abraham was like that. And Abraham was also very generous. Press the button again and you'll see. They were looking out over the whole land, and press the button again and you'll see. They could also see one side, they could see fairly dry and arid part of the country. The other side, they could see the River Jordan and a lush valley there. And Abraham, of course, is the older person, Uncle Abraham, and there was Lot, and he was saying, well, you and your lots can go one way and I'll go the other way. But press the button and you'll see that instead of saying you have to go that way, I'm going to go this way, Abraham, the older fella, had the choice. He didn't stand by his rights, and it's very easy to say, well, I deserve this, I should have this. But actually Jesus didn't stand by his rights either. Jesus' rights were to stay in heaven. Jesus' rights, he gave up all those rights when he came to earth. He was the supreme example, but here's Abraham doing it as well and saying, you can choose, it's okay. And press the button again, you'll see that Lot chose what looked like the best place to go. And Abraham, I wonder if he regretted giving the choice, or whether perhaps he knew that Lot would choose that way because it looked better anyway. But then Abraham went the other way. And God said, I will give you all of this land. Because God was with him. And I think Abraham was probably giving Lot the choice because God said to him, I want you to give Lot the choice here. I wonder if we're open enough to what God is saying so that day by day we know what he wants to say to us. And it may not always be easy. Well, press the button again, and God continues to speak to Abraham. And this time it's a little bit further on, so let me read it to you. From Genesis chapter 15, after this, Abraham had a vision and heard the Lord say to him, do not be afraid, Abraham. I will shield you from danger and give you a great reward. And you think, fantastic. Wouldn't you love God to say to you, I'm going to give you a great reward. I'm going to shield you from danger. Well, he does say that in the Bible to us. Abraham was a bit frank with the Lord at this point. And he might be in a slight surprise because Abraham answered, Sovereign Lord, what use will your reward be? Because I haven't got any children. My only heir is one of my slaves. You have given me no children, and one of my slaves will inherit my property. There's no point in you giving me all this stuff, Lord. Can you imagine speaking to God like that? A bit of a complaint. I'll tell you what I take from this. But God didn't chuck him out. God didn't say, you naughty Abraham. You can clear off. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And God is a very gracious and kind God. And throughout the Bible, we'll find times when people speak their mind to God, and he's okay with it. I think it's all right. If you're upset about something, if you're cross with God for some reason, maybe because you don't understand what God is doing, you can't understand something that's happened to you, or to your family, or your friends, or even the church here, God can cope with our anger and our upset. And God has an answer to it. And you see, because the problem, of course, for Abraham was that he'd been promised all this stuff, and he'd no doubt talked to Sarai, and Sarai said, but it's no use having all this stuff, and maybe it was Sarai that helped him to make that complaint. But God had an answer to it, and as we read on in Genesis chapter 15, then we'll see what God's answer was. He heard the Lord speaking to him again, this slave will not inherit your property, your own son will be your heir. And the Lord took him outside and said, look at the sky. And look up and see the stars. Can you count? Can you count them? I don't mean actually count the ones on the picture, by the way. But, you know, at Lager we often look out. And because we're away from the towns or anything, there's not many streetlights around there. You get a fabulous picture of the sky. And sometimes when children sleep out overnight, they say, if it's a clear night, they say, oh, we saw a shooting star over there. Oh, we were counting that. That's the plough up there. And we're looking for this one here. And we see the moon going across. And sometimes satellites go across. You can see them. And when you're lying under the stars, it's amazing what else you see. Well, here's Abraham being told to count the stars, and he says, you will have as many descendants as the stars in the sky. And the great thing is that Abraham heard what God had to say. And press the button. And again. The verse says, Abraham put his trust in the Lord, and because of this, the Lord was pleased with him and accepted him. Oh, wow. And not long after this, press the button again. He got a new name, which is the name we usually call him, of course, Abraham. And God was saying that he would be the father of many by giving him this name. Well, father of many nations, it means. There's, I suppose, one more question that I need to leave with you, because it says, Abraham put his trust in the Lord. And if you want to remember something apart from trust in the Lord with all your heart, it would be this. Abraham put his trust in the Lord, and then we learn that the Lord was pleased with him. Not because Abraham was so amazing. If you read the Bible, you'll find out there's some things that Abraham got wrong. But because he put his trust in him. So even if you think you're not that great, put your trust in God. And he will accept us because of what Jesus has done. And we could talk about that at another time. So I've got this last question for you. Press the button. I wonder how your trust is today. I think you're probably all trusting in the chair you're sitting on. None of you look like you're sitting on the edge of it. Will it break? It happened to me once in a church. The chair slowly went like that. I hope that. a well that failed. What about this then? Press the button again, and I wonder if you trust in God when things are beginning to go a bit wrong in your family. Do you trust in God that when he said he will look after us and help us? Is that true? Do we trust in God with our... Press the button again. With our... Is it working?
No.
It's gone wrong. Oh, that's my fault, probably. Let's do this and get it back. Sorry, my fault for that. Do we trust in God for our money? I suppose the best example I've ever heard about trust is the next one. See if it's working again. And some of you heard of this fella Blondin, who was a tightrope walker, and he'd walked across the Niagara Falls once or twice. And then he got to this fella, and he said, "Oh, I've got a wheelbarrow here. Do you believe I could take this wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls?" And the fella said, "Of course I can. I've seen you walk back and through. Of course you could wheelbarrow across." And then he said, "You sure?" "Oh, yes, absolutely. Get in the barrow." Did he really trust him? You know? I wouldn't get in the barrow, I'll tell you. But you can say there's a difference between, in your mind, believing that something is true and taking action on it. And so it can be quite scary to go that extra step, not just trusting in God with your mind and saying, "Yes, I do want to be a Christian. Yes, I would like to trust in you, God," and doing something about it if God says, "But I want you to do this." That's how it was for Abraham. It wasn't any longer just a case of, "Well, you can worship me here in Haran or in Ur. I want you to leave your country." Bit like saying, "Get in the barrow." That's what it takes. Sometimes it can be scary. But if not, it wouldn't be trust. Press it once again, Luke. And so I have to ask you, I wonder, how is your trust this morning? You don't have to say anything to me. You need to say it to God. How is your trust? Is God asking you to trust him with something that's hard? Is he asking to trust you? Asking you to trust him at school when it's difficult amongst your mates, at work, with your colleagues there, in the street, amongst your family and friends? There are times when we need to trust God because of what he's asking us to do. I hope you'll get in the barrow. I hope I will. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that Abraham, who became Abraham, put his trust in you. And we thank you even more that you accepted him. And we thank you that that gives us confidence that you would accept us when we put our trust in you. And we pray you'd help our trust not just to be in our minds, but to be truly in our hearts and shown in our actions, so that people might look at us and know that we have spent time with you and know that we are going your way. And sometimes this will be scary, Lord, and it will be hard for us to keep that trust in you. But we pray that you'd help us. We know that you promised the Holy Spirit with us to live with us day by day. We know that you promise never to leave us. "I will always be with you," we sang earlier. So help us to think about these things and put our trust in you, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And one more song. If you press the button a couple more times, it is, "Lord, I Come to You."